Our opening hymn from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn 102, Name of All Majesty.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today on this, the first Sunday of Lent. And hopefully on the way in, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. Most of our regular activities are happening during this coming week. Just wanted to draw attention to one or two in particular that don't happen every week. So on Tuesday evening at 7:30, we have the second of our Access NI registration evenings for those who volunteer with children or young people or adults. If you need help in applying for your Access NI update, do please come along to that evening on Tuesday evening at 7:30. On Wednesday afternoon at 2:00, the Ladies Friendship Group are meeting, and this month there is a speaker from Flourish, which is an organization that helps to rescue people from human trafficking. So it should be a very important afternoon. That's on Wednesday afternoon at 2:00, and all are welcome. On Thursday evening, we're continuing our midweek Lenten services as we look at the topic of discipleship through the lens of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian. And this week we're looking at the importance of community. That's at 7:30 on Thursday evening. On Friday afternoon at 3:30, we're looking forward to a special afternoon of Messy Church. So if you have children of primary school age and or maybe grandchildren or neighbours of that age, we're looking forward to welcoming the puppet ministry from Crown Jesus Ministries to share our Messy Church session on Friday afternoon. And this Saturday morning between 9 and 11, we have our monthly work party around the grounds of the church. And if you can help in that way, we're always grateful for people's help. At the back of the church today, you should find the parish magazine for March. If you're one of our distributors, do please take the magazines away with you, and we thank those who do that task month by month. Also want to draw attention at the back of the church, we have a little section on the table which shares some of the prayer resources from some of the mission agencies that we're connected with. So we're connected with the South America Missionary Society, with CMS, and there's also information about a Lent appeal with Fields of Life, and they're all on the table at the back of the church. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock. The Connect service is in the church hall at 11, and next Sunday evening at 7, the service of Holy Communion. You'll find all the responses to our service this morning on the screen, or if you prefer to follow in the Book of Common Prayer, our service begins on page 101.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The psalm appointed for this morning's service celebrates the freedom and the joy of God's forgiveness. Together we read Psalm 32 on page 625 of the prayer book. We omit the Gloria. Happy the one,
happy the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Happy the one to whom the Lord imputes no guilt and in whose spirit there is no guile. For I held my tongue, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. Your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up like the drought in summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you gave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful make their prayers to you in time of trouble. In the great water flood, it shall not reach them. You are a place for me to hide in. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Be not like horse and mule, which have no understanding, whose mouths must be held with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you. Great tribulations remain for the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
Would you please be seated?
The Old Testament reading is taken from Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
We sing hymn number 640, "Purify My Heart." And at this point, the children leave for Sunday school.
The New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him.
We stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for today, the first Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we prepare to receive God's word, we stand to sing hymn number 635, Be Thou My Guardian and My Guide.
Thank you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder what sort of image comes into your mind whenever you hear the word desert or wilderness. Is it a picture of a landscape of endless sand with a blazing hot sun and nothing growing or no one dwelling there? On this first Sunday in Lent, it's very common for churches around the world to think about Jesus' time of temptation in the wilderness just after his baptism. He was led by the Spirit into the desert, we're told, to be tempted by the devil. And the Greek word for temptation here is perizine. And this word perizine, it's an interesting word when we try to translate it or understand it in English. Most of us tend to think of temptation as the temptation to do something bad. Maybe you're on a diet, and by walking past a fast food restaurant or stepping into a garage, your senses are assaulted with the sights and smells of things which you know are bad for you, but they seem to have that magnetic pull upon you. And then you feel compelled that you should buy and devour them, and then you feel overwhelmed with guilt and with shame after. Or maybe if we're in a tight spot financially, we might feel tempted to steal from organizations or businesses that we believe won't notice. Or maybe it's a temptation to get involved in an inappropriate or illicit relationship, or to spread malicious rumors about someone who we don't like. And all of these are things that we know from our moral compass to be wrong or destructive behaviors. But in those moments and situations that arise where we succumb to those temptations, maybe we try to justify or to excuse our actions. And so I wonder, when we think about this encounter between Jesus in the desert and the devil in the desert or the wilderness, do we see it as some sort of contest with the devil coming up with more and more temptations to do wrong or to do bad things? And is he trying to exploit factors like the very real hunger that Jesus was experiencing after fasting for 40 days? Or was he trying to exploit the harsh environment of the desert or the physical weakness that Jesus must have been experiencing? And was the idea that if he kept on doing his worst, well, then Jesus would eventually crack and the course of human history would have changed? But what if a more accurate translation of this word perizine is testing rather than temptation? I wonder, does it then look a bit different? And if we read the experience of Jesus in the desert in this light, what we call temptation is not to make us sin, but it's meant to enable us to conquer sin. It's not meant to make us bad, but it's meant to make us good. It's not meant to weaken us, but it's meant to make us emerge stronger and finer and purer from the ordeal. And all of these testings or temptations, depending on how you translate that word, they came after Jesus had been baptized and as he prepared to begin his public ministry. And we read that Jesus went into the desert to be alone. His task had already come to him. God had spoken to him, and he needed this time in the desert to think about how he was going to attempt the task which God had given him to do. He had to get things straightened out in his own mind before he started. And in order to do that, he had to be alone. And whenever I think about the specific nature of these testings or temptations, each one of them in their own right are really tough to deal with. The first one, turning stones into bread, is that temptation for Jesus to use his power selfishly and for his own use. And when he was hungry, it was really testing to face a temptation like that. But the real way to cure hunger is to remove the causes that cause hunger. And these causes are often in our soul. Above all, there's a hunger in the human heart that no food or material thing will ever be able to satisfy. And that deep inner satisfaction only comes through a life of trust in and dependence upon God. But it's also very tempting or testing whenever you are given a clear-cut opportunity to show off or to do something spectacular. And if, like Jesus, you're trying to persuade a disbelieving world to believe in and to follow you, well, maybe a spectacular jump from the heights would make people sit up and really take notice of you and what you're about. And in a world today that associates relevance with likes or with views, Jesus again opts for another way. All of his responses are rooted in the scriptures, and these principles that prioritize depth of relationship and trust over doing the spectacular, making the big jump, or as we might call it now, the three-day wonder. Jesus opted for another way. And as we're exploring in our midweek Lenten services, discipleship or following Jesus is all about a long obedience in the same direction, where our hearts are changed by the call of Jesus to come, follow me. Or what about the third testing or temptation, where all of the power of the world is offered to you on a plate? In other words, you would be the one who people would bow down before whenever you entered the room. Sometimes money commands that kind of respect. Sometimes it's a sort of pride or entitlement where, even if you don't voice it, your thought is, in certain circumstances, do you know who I am? And there is maybe an inner longing on many of our parts to be that person that everyone knows and who commands attention and respect because of your power, your wealth, and your achievements. And of course, all of these things are really big tests or temptations. And the constant weapon that Jesus employs to deal with them is his knowledge of and his understanding of the scriptures. And it is in the scriptures that we arrive at an understanding of and a deeper appreciation of God's heart. It's in the scriptures that we see and we learn that our value in God's sight, it's not dependent on our ability to do spectacular things, or it's not commanded by being the most powerful or wealthy individual in the room. It's all rooted in grace. God's love and favor lavished upon us, not because of anything we have done, but through the victory that Jesus won for us. And that's the power that drove Jesus' conversations with the devil in the wilderness. That's also the power that's available to each and every one of us through his Spirit, if we open our hearts to receive and to accept it. It is God's Holy Spirit and God's grace that enables us to become his faithful followers in the world and to shine his light and to dispense his healing and hope wherever we go. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you today for the example that you have given to your church in times of testing or temptation. Thank you for the victory that you have won for us, and help us to stand in your strength and under your protection. Give us in the church a love for and obedience to your holy word. And we ask for more of the gifts of your Holy Spirit to enable us to overcome the tests or temptations that we may face, and to help us to become more and more like Jesus in our ambitions, in our words, and in our deeds. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. And today we remember especially the people of Iran, where there has been so much disease and tension. We pray that you would be with those who are protesting and that you would bring reforms where they're needed. We also pray for great wisdom for the international community as it tries to broker peace behind the scenes. We also pray this morning for those trying to negotiate a ceasefire in Russia and Ukraine, a long-standing project. We ask you to bless those who are negotiating and working for peace with perseverance, with courage, and with imagination. And may you enable them to bring people on all sides forward in trust and peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the sick and for the poor and for those in any kind of trouble. We pray too for all who are finding life challenging or difficult at the moment. We remember in our prayers this morning our young people who are away at a diocesan youth weekend with others from around the diocese. And we ask that you would bless them and bless Ryan, our curate, as he accompanies them, that that weekend would bring growth in faith and a time of fun in being together. We take a quiet moment now to bring before the Lord those who are particularly in our thoughts. and on our minds who are facing difficult things in different ways. And we ask, Lord, that in the quietness, your healing presence and touch would be with them. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And we respond to all that we have heard by singing the hymn of the offering, number 207, 40 days and 40 nights.
After our service, everyone is warmly invited to some tea and coffee over in the church hall. And we're going to bow our heads for God's blessing and ask him to be with us as we go into the week to come. May Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves and to take up your cross and follow him. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn is a hymn that speaks of God's protection as we sing hymn 595, Safe in the Shadow of the Lord.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.